Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sneaking around behind your partner's back in terms of the finances, I don't know. I think there's a word for that called financial infidelity. Hello, and welcome to Financials Podcast Future Rich. I'm your host, Barbara Ginty, and I'm also a CFP, which is a certified financial planner. And I am here tonight doing a solo episode. I'm very excited to let you know that while we are wrapping up the season for the year, we have two more expert episodes that I'm really excited to bring you. One is going to be a book author and another financial advisor who has a really incredible life experience she's going to share with us that I think we can all learn a lot from, kind of tie in a little bit to tonight's episode. And then the other one is going to talk about a potential side hustle, a new career space that is something that I don't think a lot of us thought about as a potential career. So very excited to bring you those two. So we're going to end the season basically with two expert episodes over the next two Fridays. But tonight, I wanted to talk to you about something I found on Reddit. Obviously, you know, I love personal finance. That's why I'm in the space. And so what I do really find fascinating and something we have talked about on the podcast before is how do you handle your finances when you're a couple? And so I absolutely love listening to Ramit Sethi's podcast. I think he just renamed it Money for Couples. And I think that this Reddit person could use his podcast because I think they need some money therapy. So the Reddit thread that my team found, so we do a deep dive on Reddit sometimes to find, you know, find out what's going on out there, see what's happening with other people because it's anonymous. So we see some really interesting things. Our podcast is obviously anonymous too, but I think it's nice to pop on to the Reddit world and see what's happening on there. And so two things. One, we found this really incredible thread that we want to share with you. And the other piece is I learned a new acronym, which I believe it stands for Am I the Asshole Here? I don't know if we have to bleep that, but hopefully not. So I'm curious of your opinion, and I'm going to share with you the story that we saw on Reddit, and I'm going to give you my opinion. Now, remember, it's just my opinion, and because this comes, I feel like these sort of scenarios really straddle therapy, like marriage counseling arena and finance, so that's why I'd be curious what Ramit Sethi would say to this couple, because he has a better background and seems to be very good at counseling couples regarding their finances. So here is what we found on Reddit. We will share this, but I'm going to give you a nice little summary here. This woman is married, and when she was married, it appears her and her husband had very comparable income in which they deposited those monies into a joint account. Now, they were living, according to this Reddit thread, they were living very comfortably, not rich by any means, but comfortable. And her husband, during that time frame, loaned, and I'll use air quotes, loaned money to his family. It appears that it was not paid back. It was more of a gift, or at least a majority of it was a gift. Maybe some was paid back. And so fast forward to, it appears having comparable income, having everything in a joint account, everything going swimmingly. She is not borrowed by the fact that his family would often, you know, borrow money and rarely repay it. Because in the scheme of things, they were comfortable, so it wasn't that big of a deal. So then her husband has a serious accident and is unable to work for a period of 4 years. During this time, they had applied, it appears, for disability. I'm going to assume here that Social Security disability, because it is not uncommon to apply for Social Security disability and to have your first or second application denied. And so it is very possible that it takes 4 years seems long, but it is very possible it takes 4 years. Oftentimes it takes a couple of years before you're approved for Social Security disability. He was eventually approved after 4 years. During that 4 years, she was the breadwinner, and their financial situation obviously changed from going from a two-income household to a one-income household. And she said during that time, they depleted their savings, took on debt, and quote-unquote was on the brink of losing everything. So when he finally, what happens when you're approved for Social Security disability is when they deem the period from when you were disabled till you get approved, they will issue back payment. So she had asked her husband, when you get this lump sum for the back payment of disability, could you please pay off your car loan? Also, it appears that they had spent $45,000 on the car loan over the years. So it's quite a big debt. So he was supposed to pay that off. That's what she asked, which I think is a very reasonable expectation for the fact that for 4 years, she carried all the finances, and it appears they also depleted their joint savings, and everything was on her to support going from a two household income to a one household income. And she also asked him if he could save some of that money for a savings account. So he apparently lent $8,000 of the Social Security payment to his family, and additionally, according to her, didn't contribute a cent to our debts or to savings, and he apparently blew the money. Then a month later, or a month from this writing of this Reddit thread, she noticed that $600 disappeared from their savings account, which she needed to pay bills. And then again, subsequently saw that $900 was missing, and again went to his family when she was expecting to use the money for bills. So she wants to know what people think on Reddit, and I guess I'm one of those people, so I'm going to give my opinion, about going to the bank, withdrawing all the money that they have saved, opening a new account that he doesn't have access to. He said she's being an asshole, which I think is where the AITAH abbreviation comes from, and that she should want his parents to be happy. And quote unquote, she said, I'm not willing to fund it with my own well-being. And to that, I say, I completely agree that disability, often Social Security disability, is not a full replacement of income. Now, maybe this is a long-term disability policy that he had through an employee benefit. And so maybe it is covering up, maybe he's getting both Social Security disability and long-term disability. I have no idea, nor can I ask, because this is an anonymous post on Reddit. And we just read Reddit. I don't really actively participate on there. So I have no idea, but if it's just Social Security disability, I know that Social Security disability is usually just a fraction of what you previously were earning, or a percentage of what you previously were earning, so that their financial situation, no matter what, has changed from when they were originally married, and they just put everything in a joint account and they seem to be living very comfortably. So with that being said, since their financial situation has changed, I think it's more than fair for her husband to respect the fact that they now might need to rely on the Social Security disability to support their household, and that loaning money out and taking money from the joint account without discussing it with his wife first, I would say is really not good. It's not good for the relationship, whether, you know, their marriage. It's not good for their marriage. It's also not good financially, because sneaking around behind your partner's back in terms of the finances, I don't know. I think there's a word for that called financial infidelity. And so she did not agree to this and has brought this up. And so I 100% agree with her going and getting her own bank accounts and putting her paycheck in there and having full control over it, because I would certainly be annoyed if my husband took money without me asking and was loaning it out, especially at our detriment.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Get 3 pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1 pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think that the situation from when they first were married, where they were financially comfortable, and he was, well, just, it appears they were, he were equally contributing and he was taking money and loaning it to his family, but it wasn't disruptive or detrimental to their own financial situation. So therefore she never said anything about it. But I think now that the situation has changed and it is detrimental and it is changing their financial future, I think she absolutely has a right to be upset. And I think she absolutely has a right to say, at this point, I don't trust you because you've broken my trust because you've been doing stuff behind my back and without speaking to me in advance and seeing how I feel about it. Because maybe if he had gone to her, maybe she'd say, okay, you could loan them $200. But she gets no say in it whatsoever. I think she's absolutely in the right to go and get her own bank account because I don't see how the behavior changes unless she does something radical. I also think they'd be great candidates to go on Ramit Sethi's podcast and do a little counseling or seek a marital counselor or a marital counselor that specializes in money problems or financial concerns, because I think that this is a lot more deep-rooted than just these three instances, most recently where he was loaning money to his family. And that brings me back to the point, when you're going to get married, you are tethering yourself to this other individual, and it is so important to make sure you're on the same page about things. And that's a lot of things, obviously, but in regard to the finances, it is important to discuss in advance, I believe, what happens if one person loses their job, right? Because while he didn't lose his job, he didn't have income. And so that changes their financial situation. And then how do you want to address that? Because if you're coming at things from polar opposite sides, which is what appears to be happening in this situation, right? His attitude is, if he has, it appears he has any extra money, he's going to give it to his parents, even if they have debts to pay. So obviously they feel very differently and act very differently with their money and have different priorities. And so to me, people obviously change, but I do think it would have been important to have these conversations up front. And as you all know, or I hope you all know, I'm a very big fan of having a prenuptial agreement. And the reason why is it forces these conversations about money, forces it. You have to talk to your partner about, what are we going to do if we get divorced? How are we going to divide assets? What happens if, or at least with my prenup, everyone's prenup's a little different, but the purpose of it is to talk about the finances of the marriage and what happens if the marriage ends. And so I think that I'm going to presume there's no prenup in this instance because it doesn't appear they've talked about it, or one party has really changed their behavior throughout the marriage. That's all, another possibility. But with the prenup, I believe it forces those hard conversations about, how do you handle money? How do you feel about money? And what would you prioritize, right? So it talks about, with the prenup, at least in my prenup, what happens if one person isn't working? How is the other person compensated, right? So like, if one person's not going to work, then the other person has to provide. And if they were to leave the marriage, or, like, you know, if you stayed home with a child, what happens then? How do you feel about savings and debt? Like, those were conversations that I think are very important to have in advance, because in this instance, you know, if they were to get divorced, because, you know, this is pretty big to break her trust this way and take money out of the account multiple times without talking to her, especially after she voiced this was a concern of hers. What's going to happen in a divorce here? They obviously are in a very different financial situation than they were 5 years ago before the accident. And so I fully support she gets her own accounts, but I think that the theme here is that it can get really messy, unfortunately, in a relationship when it comes to money. And I think it's super important to have all these conversations in advance as best you can. Obviously, there's people that change, or life events that change people. So, you know, there's nothing perfect about this, but I think having these conversations in advance is super important. And that's why I really believe in a prenup, or if you're moving in together and you're going to be commingling money, a habitation agreement. which is very similar to a prenup. It just doesn't, you're just not getting married, but a cohabitation agreement for, you know, what happens if you're going to live together and mesh finances, how do you get out of it? Because I think it forces these really difficult conversations, and then that can help avoid them, you know, or make it less stressful down the line and avoid some problems. So anyway, if anyone wants some entertainment, I would definitely go read the personal finance Reddit threads. They're wild out there. And so this was something we were talking about in our podcast chat, and I thought I would bring it to y'all. So really interesting one. I don't know if her going to get, I don't think her going to get her own separate accounts is going to completely solve the problem. I think they're coming at things from a very different perspective and they're not aligned. But I think getting her own account will at least be a radical change that will hopefully drive a change in their relationship surrounding money and ultimately help her repair it. Although probably need a professional to come in and help them. So I hope you found that as interesting as I did. We're going to talk more about prenuptial agreements and finances as a couple because it is fascinating and it can, I really think it can make or break you is what I think, which is crazy to think that your partner that you choose, whether you get married or not, but the partner that you choose to be with can really have a huge impact on your finances. So we see in real life, I see wild things. This Reddit thread is wild. And one of our upcoming guests that we're going to have out right before the season ends, we're going to talk more about prenuptial agreements. And another instance on when relationships don't work out, how dramatically that can affect your finances. So my personal take is I will always have my separate account because I have seen too much. I cannot unsee what I have seen. And so I will always have separate accounts and my husband will always have his separate account because I believe in equity there. We have to protect both parties and we have a prenuptial agreement and I wouldn't have it any other way, especially not after what I see. And this Reddit thread is just an example of what, you know, how things can start to go awry or how they can go awry. So I hope everyone has a wonderful Friday. I hope that you're not in a situation struggling with finances in your relationship. You're welcome to come on the show if you want to chat about it. And I look forward to airing these next two episodes. I think you're really going to enjoy both of them. And if you are interested in being a guest on our show, while we are done recording for this year, for 2024, we will start recording again in January 2025 for next year's season. And so if you'd like to be a guest, please let us know. You can submit on www.futurerichpodcast or send us a message on Instagram. We check those. And if you like the show, the biggest favor you can do us is you can share it with a friend. So if you have your phone out right now, just hit that share button and send it to a friend who you think would enjoy the show. That would help us out the most, and sharing is caring. And so I hope you have a wonderful Friday and I will see you next week. Time for our disclaimer. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results. Make sure that you consult with your own legal, tax, and/or financial advisor before making any decisions.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.